Maybe one day we'll wake up and discover that this has all been a bad dream. But that's not likely. Much more likely is the fact we're just going to have to try and get through this the best we can. You know, every time there's another report, another threat is coming in, and well, every threat seems to show that we're not going to be getting back to life as we know it. We're not going to be getting back to what we think normal might be. And do you know what this is doing to me? It's making me scared, that's why. I mean, I know I'm supposed to be all macho and go, oh no, this doesn't bother me. But it is making me scared. I'll be honest about that. It really bothers me. I mean, I've got not one, but two enemies teaming up against me. And here's the latest report. The news had come to the Royal Court of Judah. Syria is allied with Israel against us. So the hearts of the king and his people trembled with fear, like trees shaking in a storm. I mean, that's what's happened. The king, that's me, Ahaz. You know, history will record my name as Ahaz, but it's thought probably that my full name was Jehoahaz. Jehoahaz, you know what that means? That means God has held. Well, I don't believe that. I mean, if God has held, why have I got Syria and Israel teaming up against me? Why should I trust God has held when things have gone wrong? Why should I trust God when I've prayed for things and they haven't happened? Why should I trust God when I've prayed against some things, but those very things have happened? I mean, what am I supposed to do? And some people will say, oh, why don't you just ask God for a sign? I'm not very interested in doing that. What's a sign going to do? I mean, people are looking to me as the leader to be able to come up with a way out of this situation. But I go, oh, I'm just going to look for a sign. Well, that's not really much use to me. But that irritating Isaiah, he doesn't get this. Not at all. All he's on about is God says this, God says that. With all of his prophesying and praying, he's got no idea what it is to have to lead a nation. To have to make decisions that are going to impact everybody's life. He just, well, ask God for a sign. I mean, what's going to happen if I do that? What is his great sign? You know what Isaiah's great sign is? A virgin will conceive and have a baby, and he will be called Emmanuel, which means God with us. Am I supposed to make our nation's defensive policy on that? Imagine, just picture it, that I go to our 1 o'clock press release, stand up at the podium, and I go, well, I've brought in an expert modeller today. Here is Isaiah. Tell us what your expert modelling is showing. And Isaiah would say to the whole nation, oh, there will be a baby born, and he will be born to a virgin. He'll be called God with us. Okay, Isaiah, so what does that mean? And Isaiah would say, well, before the child is old enough to eat yogurt and honey, the lands of the two kings you fear so much will both be deserted. Oh, really, Isaiah? So I just sit and do nothing and wait for some virgin to have a baby and all our problems will just go away? Like, come on, Isaiah, I can't go planning things like that. Sign from the Lord. I mean, why should I take that seriously? This baby's going to be called God is with us. Well, my name means God has held, and look at the mess that's got us in. So who is this child anyway? I mean, if this child was going to be born, who is it? Well, some people in the future will say, oh, that child is actually my son, Hezekiah. And the reality is that history is going to show my son Hezekiah walked far more closely with God than I did. But it can't be Hezekiah that is going to be born, because I already have him. He was already my son. He had already been born by the time I became king. Some people go, oh, no, no, it's not Hezekiah. It's Isaiah's son. Isaiah's going to have a son who will be called Emmanuel. But that's not what happened. I mean, Isaiah had a son. Wasn't too a virgin. Let's read what happened. Then I slept, said Isaiah. I slept with my wife, and she became pregnant and gave birth to a son. And the Lord said, call him Mahashalal Hashbaz. For before this child is old enough to say Papa or Mama, the king of Assyria will carry away both the abundance of Damascus and the riches of Samaria. So Isaiah's son would be called Mahashalal Hashbaz. So clearly the child of Isaiah 7:14, the sign from God, it can't be Hezekiah because he's already been born. Can't be Mahashalal Hashbaz because his name does not mean Emmanuel. Emmanuel is God with us. Mahashalal Hashbaz means quickly to the plunder. And of course, Isaiah's wife was not a virgin. She wasn't a more broad interpretation of the word for virgin being Alma. She wasn't a young woman of marriageable age. No. So who then is this child that's to be born of a virgin as a sign from God? Well, I don't know. And I don't care because I'm afraid, and so many things have gone wrong already. Why should I take on these silly ideas of Isaiah? You know, I'm afraid. So many things have gone wrong already. You know a third thing? If I'm really honest, I actually don't want a sign from God. I really don't. I mean, maybe you think it's not right to say that, but the reality is, if God gave some sign that was absolutely convincing that he was all that he says he is, well, then I'd be obligated to believe him. I'd have to make some changes. I'd have to let go of some things. I would have to repent. No, I actually don't want there to be a sign from God. And what do you do when you have this kind of pressure to find a sign from God? You see, I'd rather come up with my own plans. I've got some thoughts and I'll get to those in a moment. I want to do it my way. And this nagging Isaiah, that irritating Isaiah, keeps telling me to go and look for a sign. And I just don't really want to do that. So what do you do? Well, I'm pretty clever, actually. I just spiritualize an excuse. I know the oldest trick in the book, I should say. You know that more than 500 years after me, there's going to be a man called Jesus. And one day he will talk to a Samaritan woman, and Jesus will point out to this woman that she has had a series of broken relationships. It'll be quite personal, quite close to the bone. So what will that woman do? She knows my trick. She will simply turn around and go, oh, you're a prophet, eh? Let's talk. Should we worship on the mountain? Should we worship in Jerusalem? She just goes all spiritual, right? Easy. So what happens to me when I'm told that I'm supposed to get a sign from God and I don't want, well, I just, no, I will not test the Lord like that. See how clever I am? I've just gone all spiritual, right? I just make my answer. So, oh, no sign from the Lord. Oh, no, I couldn't test the Lord. And I mean, surely that's a good thing. Jesus himself is going to say something really similar. You know, Jesus will get tempted, and what will he say? He will say, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. Now, look at my words. Look at Jesus' words. Our words are really close together, but our hearts were far apart. And if you look at what Jesus was saying when he said it, he was saying, you shall not tempt the Lord your God, because he was wanting to honor God and keep his trust solely in God. For me, well, I just said it because I didn't want a sign from God. You know, would I have sinned if I'd actually tested? Do we sin when we say, God, can you show me? Well, actually, sometimes God invites us to him, and that's what God invited me to do, that. Ask for a sign. And God does that even with giving. For example, another prophet would say, from God, bring all the tithes into the storehouse, so there will be enough food in the temple. If you do, says the Lord of heaven's armies, I will open the windows of heaven for you. I will pour out a blessing so great you won't have enough room to take it in. Try it. Put me to the test. So there is this invitation to actually try and test God. You can ask him your questions. You can say, God, I don't get this now. God, I'm struggling with this. You can test him and try him. But what are we going to do? I mean, I've got these armies facing me, right? Syria and Israel. I'm afraid and I actually don't want to really find a sign from God, and God has let enough bad stuff happen already, well, I can find my own answers. That's what I'll do. And you know what I've done? I've gone looking to Assyria. So Israel and Syria teaming against me. I will just go to Assyria. I don't need a sign from God. Because, look, my nation, they're wanting a decisive leader. They're wanting someone that's going to come up with a solution and get us out of this mess. So I've just gone boots and all, got in league with Assyria. Tiglath-Pileser, the king of Assyria. He is going to help. He is so powerful. He's obviously got the answer. And so I've gone boots and all. I have taken his altar, or made an altar based on his altar for Assyrian worship. Got rid of the altar in our temple, the temple of the God of Israel, Noah. Got rid of that. Got rid of all our, the worship of the God of our ancestors. We brought the whole Assyrian thing into our temple here. And we are worshipping the gods of the Assyrians. Because I'm pretty sure those gods of the Assyrians are going to help me. Would you like to hear what happened to me? Oh, you would? I was actually hoping I could finish my story now, because this gets real embarrassing. I mean, this whole thing, I didn't want a sign from God, right? Now, you heard that I mentioned Hezekiah, my son. Don't want to mention my other sons, because some of my other sons, you are going to hate me for this. But, well, I sacrificed some of my sons into the fire. Now, you might go, Ahaz, how could you do that? Well, lots of people were doing it. I mean, we were so afraid, and we had this idea that the god Moloch was going to help us if we sacrificed our sons to the fire. We were so desperate, so afraid, we would run to any answer. What we do when we're afraid. It's what we do when we aren't prepared to look for God's signs. Because if God showed me a sign, it would show, sacrifice my sons for nothing. It is just far easier to stick to my predetermined course of action. I'm going to team up with Assyria. And I really want to stop the story there, because do you know what happened? Well, it didn't end good for me, and in fact gave Isaiah the chance for a big fat I told you so. See, I've got Israel, I've got Syria teaming up against me, so I said I'm going to turn to Assyria. Let me read what Isaiah said was going to happen. Then the Lord will bring things on you, your nation and your family, unlike anything since Israel broke away from Judah. He will bring the king of Assyria upon you. Now, the king of Assyria is the one that I'm going to for help, so surely God won't bring that king upon me. Well, in that day, the Lord will whistle for the army of southern Egypt and for the army of Assyria. They will swarm around you like flies and bees. They will come in vast hordes and settle in the fertile areas and also in the desolate valleys, caves and thorny places. In that day, the Lord will hire a razor from beyond the Euphrates River. The king of Assyria is that razor, and the Lord will use it to shave off everything, your land, your crops, and your people. In that day, a farmer will be fortunate to have a cow and two sheep or goats left. Nevertheless, there will be enough milk for everyone, because so few people will be left in the land. They will eat their fill of yogurt and honey. In that day, the lush vineyards, now worth 1,000 pieces of silver, will become patches of briars and thorns. The entire land will become a vast expanse of briars and thorns, a hunting ground overrun by wildlife. No one will go to the fertile hillsides where the gardens once grew, for briars and thorns will cover them. Cattle, sheep, and goats will graze there. You know, Isaiah said that's what's going to happen if I turn to Assyria. Well, can I make my decisions based on Isaiah's prophecy? God says this, God says that. Well, I didn't. I didn't listen to Isaiah. I went ahead. You know what Isaiah had said to me about my big threat? The threat from Israel and Syria? But this is what the Sovereign Lord says. This invasion will never happen. It will never take place. For Syria is no stronger than its capital, Damascus. And Damascus is no stronger than its king, Rezin. As for Israel, within 65 years, it will be crushed and completely destroyed. Israel is no stronger than its capital, Samaria. And Samaria is no stronger than its king, Pekah, son of Remaliah. Unless your faith is firm, I cannot make you stand firm. And so what Isaiah is saying, hey, just settle down, Ahaz. Don't worry, God has got this. But no, I went off to Assyria and it didn't work out well for me. Why? Because God had said he was going to have this son. What would the son be called? Emmanuel. That God with us means the nations are not a problem. In the next chapter, Isaiah put it like this, O Emmanuel, huddle together, you nations, and be terrified. Listen, all you distant lands, prepare for battle, but you will be crushed. Yes, prepare for battle, but you will be crushed. Call your councils of war, but they will be worthless. Develop your strategies, but they will not succeed, for God is with us. See, there was this promise that there would be a son born to a virgin, his name would be God is with us. And actually that son would be the answer to everything. Well, as you know, I did not want to listen to that. And you might be able to learn from me. I mean, I got all the reasons why we should not trust the son born to a virgin. One, I was afraid, and my fear was what I was going to let dictate my answers. Secondly, why should I trust God when so much bad stuff has gone on already? I mean, if God was really good, why would I have heard this big threat? Thirdly, I didn't want to trust the sign. I'd rather do it my way. And fourthly, I had other answers. I was going to look to other saviours. I was going to head to Assyria. So that's what happens when you reject the sign. But what would happen if you actually accepted the sign? Kia ora tātou, my name is Kingsley, welcome to Westgate Baptist, and what I want to do this morning is ask the question, what if we took a different approach to Ahaz? What if we, instead of rejecting the son, what if we took seriously that the child born to a virgin really is God with us? And as we approach Christmas this year and over the next 4 weeks building up, we're going to be looking at things that Isaiah had said about this coming baby to be born. And we're going to think about what it would mean if we accepted that this baby born is a sign that God is with us. And the first thing is, we can now face our fears. I mean, all the decisions that Ahaz was making, they were based on fear. He had these enemies. He had Syria. He had Israel. And so he made his decisions based on fear. Now, I wonder what role fear actually plays in our lives. I mean, I was born in the 70s. And growing up in the 80s, I began to be told a couple of things. One of those is that there are these nuclear bombs, and there's these two superpowers that have the bombs facing each other. This was all Cold War. And we were pretty much told some mad person is going to set those bombs off one day and that'll be the world as we know it, obliterated. And this was kind of this big fear that we had. And we were told, well, if that nuclear war doesn't happen, you'll still get all shriveled up because of this growing hole in the ozone layer. So we didn't have Israel and Syria, but we had lots of things to fear. Adding to that, there were those within the Christian church at the time who would come and tell us, oh, yeah, you're not going to have grandchildren. Well, you definitely won't have grandchildren. You're not even going to have children. You don't even think about having a career because, you know, Jesus is going to come back. And these people thought they were doing this exciting thing to help us. They were actually installing a lot of fear, which when we get into a bit of wacky end times fixation, we're going to be fear-mongers. So I had this fear, and then I've discovered that the ozone layer hole from 2016. In 2016, it was confirmed it was about half the size it had been 20 years earlier. In fact, based on how things are going and the fact that we've been reducing chlorofluorocarbons, we are looking to, we can expect that the ozone layer will probably have healed itself by 2070. And, well, the Cold War has frozen over, it's kind of, yeah, that threat has gone. But don't worry, we've got lots to fear because then terrorism hit us. And we've got all this climate fear. And then, of course, there's been various diseases, Ebola, bird flu, swine flu. Now, of course, what are we hit with? Coronavirus. There is so much reason to fear. So I wonder, this Christmas, what are you afraid of? And if you say, well, I'm not afraid of anything, Kingsley, then I would say, maybe you should be afraid that you're not afraid, because actually we should all have a fear. Now, this child who was born to a virgin, he grew up, and here is what he said about fear. He said, don't be afraid of those who want to kill your body. They cannot touch your soul. Fear only God, who can destroy both soul and body in hell. There is a choice we have. Ahaz had the same choice. There's a sign from God, Isaiah said. You could fear God and save your nation. But no, he feared people. He feared the world. He feared Syria. He feared Israel. We can fear lots. Do you know that you turn on your social media, you will be given reason to fear. You turn on mainstream media, you will be given reason to fear. Is that going to help you have a great Christmas? The alternative, we can actually fear God. Because Syria and Israel, they could kill the body. They couldn't destroy body and soul. Climate concerns, they could kill the body. They can't destroy body and soul. Coronavirus can kill the body. Can't destroy body and soul. Why not take a break in preparation for Christmas? Stop and think, what am I fearing? Because Ahaz shows fear of the world and fear of people will paralyze. Fear of the Lord is always empowering. We take this little boy born to a virgin seriously. We can now face our fears. And we can now slow the flow of evil. I mean, think of Ahaz. Here he is faced with this evil situation of Syria and Israel going to attack him. So what does he do? He turns to Assyria. He actually brings in more evil. And I'll tell you what it was like to look to the Assyrians as your friends in a couple of moments. But he turns to the Assyrians. And he brings more evil on his people. And what did Isaiah said? This invasion from Syria and from Israel, it's going to fail. If simply Ahaz would trust what God had said, he would have saved his nation. But of course, one of Ahaz's things, well, I've got this big threat. And me and my people, we're all trembling in fear. So in his mind, this threat was evil, and in his mind, you know, he it's like, why should I trust God when he's allowed this threat to come? And that's the question that we're all faced. Why should we trust God when so many things have gone wrong? And while we are wrestling with that question, you know, why should we trust God when so much has gone wrong? I wonder if it's the wrong question. Because if Ahaz had said, I'm going to submit to God, he would have slowed the flow of evil. And if you're finding there's an area, maybe your whole life, or maybe an area in your life where you go, oh, can I trust God? This has gone wrong. Should I trust God? Try a different question. How much evil might you actually be able to slow the flow of by trusting God? Because this child was born to a baby, was born to a virgin, we can now face our fears. We can now slow the flow of evil. And because of this baby born to a virgin, we can now find direction and purpose. You see, when Isaiah went to tell Ahaz that Syria and Israel were not a threat, that it wasn't going to go anywhere, God said to him this. The Lord said to Isaiah, take your son Sheer-Jashub and go out to meet King Ahaz. Now, Sheer-Jashub means the remnant will return. And it's like there's this message going with Isaiah that, hey, Ahaz, things are going wrong, but look who's with me. The remnant will return. God has a plan. God has a good plan. We're going to be okay. And you see, there is direction and purpose. There is hope that we have in this very difficult time that we are facing. And as a church leader, I need to say the situation and the limitations that appear to be around this traffic light system for us, they're really, really difficult. But Sher Ajashub, the remnant will return. The God has a good plan moving forward, even if some things are going wrong now. And there is direction and purpose. And this direction and purpose that God has, it's so much bigger than just Ahaz himself. You see what God said, or what Isaiah said is, listen well, you royal family of David. So this isn't just Ahaz, this is much bigger. This is for the whole kingdom. Listen well, you royal family of David. Isn't it enough to exhaust human patience? Must you exhaust the patience of my God as well? Now, what is it to exhaust the patience of God? And you know, do we ever do that? It's a good thing to stop and ask. You know, this child born to a virgin. Well, if he's God with us, do we exhaust the patience of God? And there's some good thoughts on this a couple of hundred years ago from the very effective preacher Charles Spurgeon. Charles Spurgeon said that there were some people around he'd heard in his day who would say, oh, I've been trying to trust in God for years. And Spurgeon sort of thought about, what would that be like? I've been trying to trust God for years. It sounds a bit like an excuse, really. And he said, imagine that someone says to you, I've been trying to trust you for years. Well, that would be an insult, right? I mean, you would be, what? You've been trying to trust me for years. What does that mean? That means you don't think I'm very trustworthy, right? If someone says, I've been trying to trust you for years, you'd be pretty insulted. Because if you were trustworthy, they wouldn't have to try. They would just trust you. And so Charles Spurgeon said, but people say to God, oh, I've been trying to trust God for years. And it's just testing his patience. So what Isaiah said is, listen well, you royal family of David. Isn't it enough to exhaust human patience? Must you exhaust the patience of God as well? All right then, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Look, the virgin will conceive a child, and she will give birth to a son, and will call him Emmanuel. It means God with us. By the time this child is old enough to choose what is right and reject what is wrong, he will be eating yogurt and honey. For before the child is that old, the lands of the two kings you fear so much will both be deserted. Now, Isaiah gives a whole lot of direction here for King Ahaz if he will listen. But we also find here a real struggle when we are finding God's will, when we are finding direction from God. Because God lives in eternity. And sometimes God thinks of time frames differently to how we do. What Isaiah was giving to Ahaz was predictive prophecy. Now here's the challenge with predictive prophecy, okay? Some things will be quite immediate, right? So he said before this child is eating yogurt and honey, he's talking like a couple of year period. And the threat of those two kings did die off within a couple of year period. But in the same prophecy that Isaiah is given, or if we went back, sorry, to verse 7, 8, and 9, we'd find Israel would be crushed, but that's in 65 years. And so sometimes when the Old Testament prophets prophesied, they were talking about something that's going to be like immediate in the next couple of years. Or it could be this is a generational thing. Like another prophet, Jeremiah, talked about a captivity being 70 years. But then, in this same prophecy, Isaiah talked about a child being born to a virgin. That happened more than 500 years after Isaiah's time. And then if we went to Isaiah 65, we would see that there is a prophecy that God will restore and create a new heavens and a new earth. But we're still living in the old heavens and the old earth, so that hasn't been fulfilled yet. And so when we read Old Testament prophecy, it's real challenging. Because what period does it refer to? And the prophets themselves, as far as we tell, they probably didn't know. And so Isaiah talks about this child born to a virgin. And it's like, did he think it would be his generation? Did he think it was going to be? We don't know what he understood. And this creates all sorts of challenge. And there are those, of course, who believe the Old Testament to be the Word of God, but they reject Jesus as Messiah. They reject the New Testament. And they will say that, well, Isaiah didn't actually predict a virgin birth. Now, when Isaiah said that a virgin will conceive, it was in Hebrew. And he said an Alma would conceive. Now, there are many people today who say, oh, well, that means a young woman of marriageable age. So it could be anybody, you know, any young woman of marriageable age that will conceive. However, Hebrew language, like many languages, has changed over time. And in the Old Testament, whenever Alma was used, it is always used in the context of a virgin. It's never used for someone who is not a virgin. So though today the Hebrew language might suggest Alma is just a woman of marriageable age, most likely in the Old Testament, it literally was a virgin. To clarify this, Matthew quoted Isaiah 7:14 and Matthew 1:23, and Matthew wrote this in Greek, and he said the virgin will conceive a child and he will be called Emmanuel. And in Greek he said the parthenos. Now that word parthenos, it means virgin. That's just it. No other meaning. It is clearly a virgin. And so it makes it tricky because the people that were around in Isaiah's time, like King Ahaz, would think, oh, I don't know any virgin that's having a baby, you know, because it didn't happen for 500 years. Now, we need to know the will of God. We need to seek the will of God. And we have a God who speaks. Here is where there's a caution, is that God speaks. God is real. But we don't always know the timing. And so when there is a prophetic word, I have to be honest that one of the things when we test prophetic words, something that makes me suspicious is when there's a specific time frame on a prophetic word. See, someone will say, oh, well, God's going to do this and this, and he'll do it this year. And I'm always very, very cautious around those things because with prophecy, we don't know often the time frame. And the simple fact of not knowing the time frame is not that the prophetic word is wrong in any way. It's just it can seem so real to the person that receives the word from God. It's so real, well, it's got to be now, and maybe it's not. I've had things prophesied in my life. For example, back in 1997, things about overseas ministry. And the years went on, and but I didn't know anybody overseas, you know, there was no sort of doors at all open. And got to the point I thought, well, that person that prophesied overseas ministry over me, he was having a good go at prophecy, but he got that one wrong. That was a false prophecy. And then God opened the door and changed things and fulfilled what he said. And so sometimes you have a word from God, someone has a word for you from God, and you're, this is it. Next week I'm going to look at this happen. And it might be decades or years and years. On the other hand, I remember a prophetic word someone had for me, and I thought, well, yeah, that's probably 5, 10, 15, more likely 20 years. Within 2 years, it was well underway. I'm not saying it's fully fulfilled yet, but within 2 years, it was well underway. And so when we're seeking to know the will of God, we have a God who speaks. We don't know his time frame. I mean, Jesus said, behold, I am coming soon. That was 2,000 years ago. He still hasn't come back. So, you know, when Jesus says soon, well, that's at least 2,000 years. So the point is there's direction and purpose when we take this sign seriously from God. And we can now follow the right Saviour. I mean, what did Ahaz do? He goes, things are not going well. I'm going to look for answers. And I wonder what answers you look for. He went to Assyria, but maybe we might go to the algorithm. You know, we look for things that support our point of view, and sometimes we might not run off to Assyria, but we run off to somewhere. Maybe we don't go looking to Tiglath-Pileser to help us, but we go looking to Tiglath-Prosperity. But what I mean by that is, oh, things are going wrong. How can I have more money? How can I have more things? How can I be more successful in this world? And we look to those types of saviours. And we often look to the things that are going to burn us and hurt us. I mean, Israel and Syria, they were real threats. Let's not diminish that. But King Ahaz says, right, I'm going to go to Assyria. Going to get in league with Assyria. Do you know who he was getting in league with? Assyrians, the ancient Assyrians, made pillars. And these pillars were monuments to their brutality. Monuments to the absolutely sadistic nature of how they conquered and treated their enemies. And there are a guy called Boyce in England at the moment who's been interpreting what's on these pillars, an expert in ancient things, and he's been understanding. And there was pillars made of human heads and put very, very prominent places in a city to say the Assyrians have passed here. There were a common thing for the Assyrian leaders to do was to skin enemies alive. And often they would, if they captured an area, they would skin the king alive and put his skin on a pillar to show all the people there, we have conquered you. Now, there was this general Babo, That's his name, and he was the son of Bubba. True story. An old ancient Assyrian called Bubba, and he called his son Bubbo. Now, General Bubbo, he loved and he to boast about cutting limbs off people. Just that was his way of dealing with enemies, cut the limb off. And he burnt alive 3,000 people on one day. There were other generals in the Assyrian army who were known if they captured people. They would cut off sometimes fingers, often it would be hands. They would cut off someone's nose and just set them, try and survive. They'd cut off someone's ears. They would pluck out eyes, plunge a person into darkness and just let them go and struggle. They did not care. Now that is the group and the tradition and the spirit and culture of Assyria. King Tiglath-Pileser was part of that. And Ahaz said, I want him to be my help. I mean, turning to the most brutal people to be your savior, it's nuts. But that is what we'll all end up doing when we say, I don't want God's sign. But we do have the sign. And what that means is that we can now follow the right savior. Ahaz is an example of saying, I'm not interested in that child born to a virgin. But what if this Christmas we stop and freshly ask ourselves, what does it mean if we accept that child born to a virgin, that child called Jesus? What if he really is Emmanuel? God is with us. What does that mean for you and I? Let's pray. Lord, we thank you because you are with us. We thank you for the incredible hope that we have in you. And Lord, I pray for my friends. Lord, as we are preparing for Christmas and preparing in a very unusual time, times that we've not known before, times of great uncertainty and pain and concern, Lord, we thank you that again we have that simple truth. God is with us. And this morning we've reflected on a king who had opportunity to accept that, but chose not to. Lord, may we be challenged by that. Lord, may we be challenged by you to examine every area of our life and ask, what does this area mean? Lord, the things that make us angry, may we examine those in the light of the fact that God is with us. Lord, the things that make us afraid, may we examine those in the light of the fact that God is with us. Lord, the things that distract us, Lord, may we again ask ourselves, what does it mean that God is with us? Lord, I pray for any person who's watching this service who doesn't have a relationship with you, Lord, I pray that they would come to know that that sign that Jesus is God with us. We pray this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.